Okay, this time we're going to go back and pick up where we left off before Binageya to the Yishuv of the Eden who came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. We discussed that the Melech of Paros HaMadai gave Rishus for the Eden to come back to build the second Beis HaMikdash, helped them. Zerubbabel came back with Yeshua Kain Gadol, came back in order to build the second Beis HaMikdash, and they built half of the Beis HaMikdash, and then the Kusim were instrumental in forcing them to stop building it. And we said this is Nisram is in the Mice of Purim at Chatzi Amalchus, where in the time of the story of Purim, the half of the Beis HaMikdash was built, but because of the Kusim who convinced the Melech of Paros HaMadai that if the Eden are going to have a Beis HaMikdash, ultimately it's going to cause them to create a revolution against them, so the Beis HaMikdash, they stopped building the Beis HaMikdash. Later on, they continue building the Beis HaMikdash, and as we said, there's a Yeshemrim that the Melech was the son of Esther HaMalka. The Doyavish was a son of Esther HaMalka, and it's through him that they were able to continue building the Beis HaMikdash. So the Beis HaMikdash was completed, and then at that time, Ezra HaSeifer came up to Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says that the reason he didn't come before was because his Rebbe Baruch Ben-Eri was still alive. So once he was Nifta, so then Ezra was able to come up to Eretz Yisrael. So Ezra came up into Eretz Yisrael. When Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, what he found there, and this we have the Sefer Ezra, Nehemiah, when he came up to Eretz Yisrael, he found a terrible churban in the matzav of the Eden that were living there in Eretz Yisrael. They were there already for 23 years, and for those 23 years, they first of all were living tormented by the neighbors that were all around them, by the Kusim, by the Goyim that were all around them. They were constantly plundering them, they were terrorizing them. And besides that, after the Eden came up into Eretz Yisrael, the first wave of Eden came up to Eretz Yisrael, so the Melech of Paras did not allow other Eden to go up to Eretz Yisrael. So the Kesher, the bond that was found between the Eden that were in Eretz Yisrael and the Eden that were left in Bavel, was broken. And as we mentioned, Ruba the Ruba of Klal Yisrael was left in Bavel. So that you have a small group of Eden that were living in Eretz Yisrael, and they were sort of on their own. They were on an island by themselves, surrounded by Goyim, without anybody to come up to help them and to be mechazik them. And because of that, the Eden were nisarev between the Goyim, ad kedei kach, that many of them took noshim nachriyos. They married Goyisha women. And we learned that even Yeshua Kain Gadol also had children that married Goyisha women. Ezra came up into Eretz Yisrael, and this is the matzav that he found. A shattered Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, shattered mitzad the Gashmias, living in fear from the Goyim all around them, and shattered in Ruchnias, because ad kedei kach that they even won this hour between the Goyim. So immediately, Ezra went about giving Musar to the people that they have to get rid of their Nashim Nachriyas. Ezra also saw to it that there should be Seifrim, what they call Seifrim. I guess you would call them Rabbonim, that should be found in every town, in every city. People that should learn with the people Torah. He also saw to it that there should be a Parah Adumah. Ezra made a Parah Adumah. in order that they should be able to bring karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. But the truth of the matter is that Ezra was not able to be mechazik them completely by himself. And one of the reasons was because the Yidden was spread out in the different cities in Yehuda, in the different area of Yehuda. They were very, very poor. And the Mela, there weren't that many batonis that went to the Kayhanim. And the Kayhanim didn't have, therefore, what to eat. And even from time to time when they brought karbonis, because of the nisayon they had of the fact that they were very poor, so they brought karbonis that were bali mumin. And the kayanim didn't have the kayach to be able to musarize klal yisol, to get them to go into the derech hayosher. As a result, there was a magefa that came, and that when things started growing, it didn't rain, and therefore they didn't have a good crop of tfuah. As a result, the aniyas became even greater because they didn't have even the tfuah. And the mela, the bizyonis that they lighted from the goyim that were all around them, became even worse. They now lived in tremendous poverty. We learned that the Novi Malachi, who was there, and Agav, there's one das in the Gemara that the Navi Malachi is really Ezra. Malachi and Ezra are both the same according to one sheet in the Gemara. The Navi Malachi tried to be meichiach them, that they should give him teichocha, that they should go in the derech Hashem. But it doesn't seem that he was able to turn the matzav around. So especially if we understand that Malachi is really Ezra, so Ezra was not able to turn the situation around. And for 13 years, Ezra and this matzav tried to turn the situation around, and he wasn't able to. And again, one of the major problems that Ezra faced was the fact that they were constantly found in a situation where they were fatzaret from the goyim that were all around. They lived in fear of the goyim that were all around them, because the goyim would constantly come and plunder and rob. And the reason for this was, and one of the reasons that it was this way, was because the city of Yerushalayim did not have a wall around it. Now, if we go today to Yerushalayim, even today you go to Yerushalayim, we're talking about, of course, the old city in Yerushalayim, so you find that there's a wall that's built around the city. Ad Hayayim, there's a chayma that's built around the city. This is a chayma this is not the same chayma that we're discussing now, because the chayma was destroyed and was built up many different times, a few times over. But we understand that the purpose of the chayma that's around Yerushalayim is in order to protect the people that were living in Yerushalayim, the yishuv that was in Yerushalayim. If they could only put up a chayma, if they could only put up the wall around the city, so that would bring them into a matziv where they would have shalom and they wouldn't live in fear. And then maybe you could pull them together. You know, it's difficult to learn with people if people are constantly living in fear. It's difficult to try to build up the gashmistik matziv if kaseda, the goyim, are coming in and they're robbing and they're stealing and they're burning. So how could you live that way? Now, the goyim understood this also. So one thing that the goyim were very particular about is when they saw that the Eden were trying to build the chayma around Yerushalayim, they stopped them. That was, once you have a chayma, so then you have protection. But in the process of building, how do you build the chayma to begin with? You know, you need a chayma to build a chayma. You need a way to be able, you need a defense that's all around you in order that you should be able to build the chayma. And when the goyim saw that the Eden are looking to build a chayma, so they stopped them. They wouldn't allow them to build the chayma. And so the matzav seemed like it was a helpless type of a matzav. It was a very, very desperate kind of a situation. Here they came, the Mesiris Nefesh. They moved up into Eretz Yisrael. The Mesiris Nefesh, they finally were able to finish building the Beis HaMikdash. But they were cut off again from the major Yishuv Ezer who came up. But as you explained last time, Rav of the Eden did not come up with Ezra. So Vaita were left. He brought up many with him. But Rav of the Yishuv once again was left in Chutz Loretz, was left in Bavel, and left in all of the different countries that the Eden went to. So it was relatively small Yishuv that was found in Eretz Yisrael. And the Yishuv that was there was a Yishuv that was Fatzoret, Saiba Gashmias, and Saiba Ruchnias. It looked like a very, very helpless situation. What turned things around was the coming of Nehemiah up into Eretz Yisrael. Now, what was special or different about Nehemiah was that Nehemiah was one of the Sorim, one of the servants, and not, he was one of a very distinguished kind of a servant. He used to bring the cup, bring the wine, bring the drink, which was a position of kavod. He used to bring it for the Melech of Paras, for Daryavish. And he came before the Melech, he was an Ohu v'nechbad by the Melech, he came before the Melech, and he tainted us with the Melech that he's Gevaldig Tzar, and the reason that he's Tzar is because he knows that through the Malchus of Paras Umadai, the Eden were able to build the Beis HaMikdash, but because they're not able to build up the Chaim HaSair, so the settlement there is by far not a successful settlement. And he would like to go up to Eretz Yisrael. He asked Rishus from the Melech, from Dayavosh, that he should allow him to go up to Eretz Yisrael so that he should be able to help them into establishing the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, finishing off the Chaima and establishing the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And Melech Dayavosh gave him Rishus, and he gave him Koyach, he gave him the Memshalah. In other words, he made him, like I say, a governor, sort of, over the Yishuv in Yerushalayim, coming with the Koyach of the Melech of Paras, also gave him a certain amount of power, b'negeya to the Goyim that were living around him also. So he came up to Yerushalayim, and he first took an account of all that was going on. And then afterwards he called together all of the Eden, and he said, we have to see to it as quickly as possible to build up the city. Now somebody learns the first paragraph of Brachas, so we know the drosha that the Gemara makes over there, that they built, they were busy building the wall from the morning until the night, and that some of them stayed as guards, watching to make sure that the Goyim shouldn't attack, while the other ones were busy building the walls. And it took them 52 days. In 52 days, they finished putting up the walls around Yerushalayim. And Memela, now, there was the situation, Chlal, was a better matzav. The general matzav was a better matzav because the people living in Yerushalayim felt more secure. Now, immediately, one of the things that Nehemiah was instrumental in doing is, as you mentioned, there were many Aniyim that were found in Eretz Yisrael. There was hunger that was found in Yerushalayim because of the fact that there was, came because of the Chatoyim, but Lamaisa, there were many different Aniyim that were found in Eretz Yisrael, and they auctioned off their property to the Gevirim, to the rich people that were living all around them. So they came to Nehemiah and they said that what are we supposed to do? We have no fields. We have no way of being mefarnes ourselves because of our nias. We had to give away the fields to the Ashirim, to the rich people. What's supposed to be with us? How could we remain here? So Nehemiah was piled by the rich people that they should return the fields to these poor people, so that once again the poor people should be able to work their fields and to be able to put together for themselves parnasa. It was in this time also, and this is a sugya arucha, it's a gemara in Chulin, the gemara talks about this in other places also, that Nehemiah put to rest, so to say, the issue of the kusim. We mentioned that there was a whole shaila if the kusim are geri arois, geri emes, geri arois. Nehemiah went and he put them all into cherim, and he made a gzeira on their pass, even on their pass, that, and he said, or I should say, his Bezdin said, Kol ha'eichel pas kusi kilo eichel basar chazir, to eat the bread of a kusi, yeah, flour and water mixed together. What could be better than that? Well, if you eat a piece of bread that comes from a goy, it's as if you're biting into a piece of chaza. And again, the reason that he did this was because he excommunicated them from Klal Yisrael. They caused so much tzaras for Klal Yisrael, including the last tzara that we described, not allowing them to pull themselves together and to establish the Yishuv in Yerushalayim. So he saw to it that you couldn't eat any, that you couldn't eat their food, not to be makabel gerim from the kusim, and also they said that the kusim ain lam chelik b'tchiyas hameis. We learned that after the building of the chaimis around Yerushalayim, so Ezra and the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila started to be mechazik in the Ruchnis. Now that the Gashmiistik Matzav got better, they went to be mechazik the Ruchnistik Matzav in Eretz Yisrael. Learned that when it came before Rosh Hashanah, so Ezra called together all of the people by the Beis Hamikdash, into the Azores, and Ezra took out the Sefer Torah, and he leaned from the Sefer Torah for a half a day. He was leaning from the Sefer Torah, telling him the Teichacha from the Sefer Torah. All the people were crying because they realized that there they were in Eretz Yisrael, and they weren't being Mekayim all that it said in the Torah. And they were crying so much until Ezra stopped laning, and he got up and he said, today is Yontif, everybody go home. Kiched vas Hashem himu uzchem. That everybody has to go home now and to have a chelik of the Yontif. And then afterwards, when it came Sukkot, the Yontif of Sukkot came, so they all built big Sukkot. Right, in the Sefer Ezra, they talk about the big Sukkot that they built. There was a tremendous Simcha now in Yerushalayim with the Simcha, with the Sukkot. The Sukkot, of course, is Man Simcha Seinu, and now they could truly be B'Simcha because they felt secure living in Yerushalayim. And the Mela, for the first time after many, many years, so we now have the first wave of coming up of Zerubbabel and Ezra and finally Nehemiah. So now we finally have a matzav in Yerushalayim where the Yidden were able to live in Yerushalayim in an oifen that was peaceful. They were protected from the enemy. And now also they were able, Ezra and Nehemiah together, and this other group that we always talk about, the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, were able now to get together in order to be mechazik the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, in a ruchniistic sense, to be mechazik the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael. And now they had the Beis HaMikdash. Now hopefully they'd be able to look forward to a tkufa of living in Eretz Yisrael. That should be a tkufa that would be a tkufa on a high madreg. Now, we're going to discuss many of the different takonis that were made by Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila. Again, the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila was they were there in the beginning during the Golus of Bavel, and also in the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. They made takonis for the Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael, but not only for the Yidden living in Eretz Yisrael, but these were takonis that was from Eretz Yisrael. They were then introduced into the people, into the Yidden that were living in other parts of the world. They also had to be mekabel these takonis. So Ezra and Nehemiah and the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, they made these takonis. But once again, these takonis that were not only for the people in Eretz Yisrael, but people in Chutz Laretz also. And we now have to once again start to rediscuss this that we've mentioned, that the job of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah and the Chachamim that were there in the Tkufa of the second Beis HaMikdash were not only to be Mechazik the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz at that time, but the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who had amongst them Nevi'im, like Ezra, and there were other Nevi'im there, Chachamim, people with Ruach HaKodesh, they were able to see that these takonis that were being made were very, very important for the Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, but even more so important for the Zman after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, for the time that we're going to be in Golis, for the 2,000 years of Golis. So again, this is a very important Nekuda, that the takonis that were made were for that Kufa, because of the matzav of that Kufa, but perhaps even more important, the takonis were made in order that Klal Yisrael should be able to sustain a Golus as long as we're in Golus, until Mashiach comes. Okay, so we're talking Kamat 2,000 years. And once again, when we talk about this, the miracle of the survival of Klal Yisrael in Golus, and how could it be? So of course, it's the Hashgacha, and it's Chusavis, and it's on and on and on. It has to do with many, many things. But one of the ikrim that it has to do with is the fact that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah started a program, started a whole system of making takonis and chizukim, let's call it, with machazik, the yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, and the yidden all around, because they understood that Klal Yisrael is now going to stand up to the biggest test, and perhaps the most glorious, and at the same time sad, but the most glorious matzav that a nation has ever faced, and that is to go into Golus, and to go from country to country, and to go from matzav to, from one matzav to another matzav, from very, very good, which is in itself an Nisayon, to very, very bad, Rachman al-Islan, which is also an Nisayon, and then to bounce back and to go into all different types of situations, meeting up not only with all different types of people, but meeting up with all different types of Nisayonis, because every other country we went to came with a fresh type of a Nisayon, and somehow we're able to withstand all of these Nisayonis. So the one, again, who started this Avodah, and this Avodah had a tremendous mile of Ruach HaKodesh, otherwise it's impossible to explain how they had this tremendous insight. So starting this Avodah was done by Ezra Nehemiah and their Bezdin, and included in that, and part of that, was the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. We're not going to mention everything that they did, but we're going to talk about just a couple of the Zachen that they did. First of all, they asked Mecha Chamemka B'Shabbos, that you couldn't do business on Shabbos. Included in that is the fact that they also, it was then it began the Isra of Muksa. Right? Muksa is only Midrabonon. And there began the Isra of Muksa. So we understand that there was an emphasis put on Shmira Shabbos. Shmira Shabbos, not only from keeping away from doing Melachis, not to do the Melachis, but included in the fact that they couldn't do Mekach HaMemkar B'Shabbos. Well, if you can't do business on Shabbos, well, what are you supposed to do on Shabbos? Right? I don't know if that's a good question for us, because sometimes you can hear about people that could sleep through a Shabbos. But we're talking about regular people, right? What are regular people going to do on Shabbos if they can't be Isaac Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos? So it's a time, Memela, that people are Isaac B'Torah. During the week, a person to himself thinks that he has an excuse, he doesn't have time, but nobody has an excuse on Shabbos. So they saw this as planting within Klal Yisrael sort of a protection, that Klai Yisrael will always have the opportunity and always have the time and the ability to be Isaac B'Taira. And again, there is of course the chashivas of the mitzvah itself, but besides the chashivas of the mitzvah itself, there's also the fact that Limud HaTorah, and we'll discuss this a little bit further on, Limud HaTorah was very important for the kiyum of Klal Yisrael. It's part of the fiber of the Yidden, and it helps us to be able to survive. The same thing is with Muksa. The Rambam talks about the different types of Muksa that we have. Muksa Machmas, Balachtel Issa, Muksa Machmas Issa, different types of Muksa that we have. The Rambam says it has to do with to keep them away from doing different types of things. Right? If you can't touch Kalim, the only thing that you can touch, and especially in the Chemia's time, when the Chemia made the Gezeira Muksa, so the only thing you can touch is food, and maybe what you need, Sfarim, and what you need in order to be able to eat, but nothing beyond that, everything else you can't touch. So if everything else you can't touch, what are you going to do on Shabbos? Vata, there's not just also on Shabbos, is this man, that you should be able to be Isaac in Ruchnis. And again, that was something that they instituted in that time. Now, other takonis that they made through the Anshe Knesset HaGdolim, they also made takonis that they also made a very, very important takona, and that is the tikkun of our siddur. And let's talk about this a little bit. We know that the Anshe Knesset HaGdolim were Mesakin Loshen of Shmoneh Esrei. So the language that we have, all except for the one bracha, the bracha of the Malshina Malti Sikva, which was authored towards the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, which Be'ez Hashem will discuss then. So that they are the ones who put down the Loshen of the Nusach HaTfilah. Agav, Rabbi Yankov in his Sefer says, and he reminds us of this Nakuda that we said before, that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, so they had different things, Rabbi Yankov says, that they did in order to remind everybody that this wasn't the Emes HaGeula, the second Beis HaMikdash wasn't the Emes HaGeula. So he says one of the things that they did was, one of the brachas that you have in Shmoneh Esrei is, Yerushalayim, Yircho, Berachmim, Toshu. So can you imagine? You're living in Eretz Yisrael. You're living in Yerushalayim. And three times a day, you're saying a tefillah. Yerushalayim, Yircho, Berachmim, Toshu. Esemach dover avdecho meheiros atzmiach. So the teretz is, and you're in Yerushalayim. So it's like today they daven Shmoneh Esrei in Eretz Yisrael. How do you daven Shmoneh Esrei in Eretz Yisrael and say the Loshen of Yerushalayim, Yircho Berachmim Toshiv, you're in Yerushalayim? So what does it mean? So of course, it doesn't mean just being in Yerushalayim. It means being in Yerushalayim with the Beis HaMikdash, with the Avodah, back the Beis HaMikdash, being in the Matzav that it was, like we saw in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yankov says that in the tufa of the second Beis HaMikdash, that's how they davened also. They said all these same tefillahs. If you open up the siddur, you see that those are the tefillahs that they said. So it was obvious, it's obvious to us, that it was clear to them that this tufa that they had with the second Beis HaMikdash was not an Emes HaGeula. And therefore they said these tefillahs. Is this very clear? Now once again, the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah went and they were Mesakin, the Loshen, the Brachas for Shmoneh Esrei. And the reason they did this was is because people were falling down from one Madrega to another. Before the time of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, when a person came to Davin, what did he say? Well, he spoke from his heart. He just got up, he stood by his place, and he Davined. He spoke from his heart, and I guess there are a lot of milas in doing it that way, because then your tefillahs are pure. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdeila realized that people were falling down in Madregas and they didn't have any more the language. They didn't understand what to say. They didn't have the proper kavonis when they davened. And therefore they put together a Lashon in Shemone Esrei that within that Lashon were found all of the Seidus and all of the kavonis that it's possible for a person in all of the future generations to be able to be mechavenim. All of this they put into Shemone Esrei because they realized that never again will there be such a collection of people on such a high madrega like the people of the Anshei Knesset HaGdeila. So therefore they realized that it's time now to put together a siddur. And every Yid now is going to open up the siddur and he's going to daven from the siddur. And whatever kavonis, even if he'll say the words, like Reb Chaim Volozhiner says in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, if you just touch the words, the kavonis is within the words. So if you just touch the words, you think to yourself, you mechaven to yourself, the touch of the words, so you have the benefit of these words that are molei kavonis, molei seidus. So just be mechaven the words of Chaim Volozhiner says, in a mele you have all of the seidus that the Anshei Knesset HaGdeila in their gvaldige madrega put into the tefillis, so you have that mile. So that's the first thing that they did. And the second thing, the reason why they put together the siddur is because Rabbi Yisrael, we have to think about this, and this is one of a meridika Eitzah and an Einfall that is important once again in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, but by far much more important after the Churban of the second Beis HaMikdash. The fact that Yidden come together in a shul 3 times a day and everybody davens together, it creates a meridike ichud in Klal Yisro. This creates a tremendous achdus in Klal Yisro. So here we are, living in Golis, amongst the Goyim. What's going to keep us together? We have to have something to keep us together. So no matter where you're living, you wake up in the morning, before you go to work, you go to shul, you meet up with your chaverim, you daven together, you get home from shul, you get home from work, and after you get together at shul, and you daven together. So the tefillah betzibur, and the fact that the tefillah betzibur is in the same nusach that we daven together, was an automatic techatimsa of keeping an achdus amongst Yidden, especially when they're found in Golis. It's and one other thing we need to really examine, besides Shemone Esrei, of course we have Birchas Kriya Shema, we have Psukei Dezimra that the Gemara discusses where Psukei Dezimra comes from, and we also have to face up to the fact and realize that we have many different Nuschois, right? We have a Nusach Ashkenaz, a Nusach Sfarad, and then Nusach Ashkenaz, Nusach Sfarad that you have between Ashkenaz Yidden, and then you have a Nusach Sfarad that you have between the Sfaradish Yidden, and if I'm not mistaken, I think between the Sfaradish Yidden you also have more than one Nusach, right? You have people from this country and that country. However, the difference in the Nuschois that we have are minor differences. They aren't major differences. They're minor differences. Everybody says 18 brachas for Shemone Esrei, and everybody says Mechayim Esim, and everybody says Atachayinu Yodim Das, and everybody says Shema Keleinu. Within the bracha itself, there may be slight variations in the words that are used, but the topic and the subject of each one of the tefillahs is the same in every single person's siddur. Birchas Kriya Shema we all say, and Birchas Kriya Shema we all say, and we all say 2 brachas before Kriya Shema, and a bracha after Kriya Shema, and the subject and the topic, and ruba of the words are all the same. We're all saying Psukei Dezimra. It is so that if I walk into a Sfaradish shul, so I may have to use a siddur, maybe I can't do it by heart, I may have to use a siddur, but I could follow along, and I could daven along, because it's the ruba of it is the same. The Mela, when you had Yidden that left one country, went in Golis, were driven from one country, went into a different country, He came into another country. A Sephardi Shiyid was driven out of his country, which never happened many times, and he landed up in an Ashkenazi country. Or the other way, an Ashkenazi Shiyid that was driven out of his country, and he landed up in a Sephardi country, which also never happened many, many times. So he could walk into shul. He could walk into the shul, and he could find his place in the shul. And then maybe it took him a couple of days till he got completely comfortable, but he could daven along with everybody else because more or less, basically, the siddur was all of the same. The fact that we daven together and our nusach ha-tfilah is all the same was a meridike einfall, a meridike hechatimsa, a tremendous idea, and a tremendous chizuk that Klal Yisrael was able to use in the goals that we're facing today. And again, if we think about the what helped us to be able to survive through this goals, there's no question about it. The siddur has a big chelik of it, and the shuls that we have is a big chelik of it. The whole idea that we come together in the shuls and we daven together, so it says a big chelik of what has helped us to, and it still helps us, to be able to go through the goals. Another thing that they were masakin is the inyan of making a brach. Brachas adrabonon. The Yerushalmi says that Birchas HaMitzvos is the araisa, but even according to the Yerushalmi, Birchas HaNenen, Birchas Shvach V'Hidor, these are all brachas that were nisken by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim. Right? So now, every time before you eat something, so you have to remind yourself that this all came from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And once again, we have to understand it the same way. What happened before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim Mesakin Brachas? Well, the Gemara in Ketz Mevorchim says that bracha, to make a bracha lefaneh is a svara. Of course you have to make a bracha. Right? You have to make a bracha? Of course you have to make a bracha. You be nen ma'olam hazeh, so you have to make a bracha. But before the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim, everybody said his own bracha, his own nusach. And perhaps his nusach changed from time to time based on what he felt at that moment, how mechuzik he was, and how deeply he felt that the shvach v'haydor to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is the type of bracha that he said. But the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim realized that we can't leave it up. We can't leave it up to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael's falling from the Madregas. We can't leave it up to Klal Yisrael. But we have to make a takana. And the takana says that you have to make a brocha. And again, we have to examine this. There's a chesaron in making a takana that you have to make a brocha, because you run into the sakana that the brocha that's going to be said may not come from the person's heart. He has to make the bracha, so he makes the bracha. He doesn't make the bracha because he feels that hergish that he must make a bracha. He makes the bracha because there's a takana to make a bracha. However, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolim realized that this is the better of the two. And it could very well be that a person's going to make a bracha and he's not going to have the proper kavana, because he's saying it machmas, the fact that it's a takana, but it's better this way, because perhaps chalila this time he won't have kavana, but next time he will have kavana. It's important that the shem Hashem should be shogur in the mouths of people constantly. May a brachas b'chol yom. Can you imagine? Person says 100 times a day, baruch atah Hashem. So every time he says baruch atah Hashem, he's reminding himself that every little thing that you have in the Bria comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And let's keep in mind that this has a lot to do with the Nisyonis, as we mentioned before, that we have to face up Bizmanenu, with Greek culture all around us, the denial of the fact, Achmonu Litzlan, that things come from the Ribbono Shel Olam, that everything, that every little bit that we have comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. In order to defend ourselves against this, that this belief that comes from these people, from these Rishoyim, how do we defend ourselves against the das of the Yevonim? By making a bracha. By every time we take something into our mouths, every good thing that happens to us, every mitzvah that we're able to be mekayim before we do it, and we say Baruch Ata Hashem, whatever the taich of Baruch Ata Hashem is, and there are many different taichin, but the one thing that's included in all of the taichin is that it's Adank the Rebbeinu Shalaylam, that we have what we have, and we're able to do what we're able to do. Another thing that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila did was the Chasima of the Tanakh. They sealed off the Tanakh. Now, which means as follows. Of course, we know we have the Chumash, right? Reish, Shmais, Meikwet, Mebidba, and the Varim. But the Gemara tells us that when it comes to the Nevi'im, there were thousands and thousands of Nevi'im that were found in Klal Yisrael. All of them said Nevuah, perhaps even more than thousands, perhaps even millions through the years of the first Beis HaMikdash. And the Nevuah that they said were known. They were known by different people. They were known. They were passed down from generation to generation. From those Nevuahs, there were only certain Nevuahs that were taken and, let's call it, incorporated into what we have today, the Tanakh. So you have Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, the Nevi'im that are found in Treyasar. So these are only, there's a handful of Nevi'im. There were many, many thousands more Nevi'im. But their Nevuahs were not preserved. Their Nevuahs were not incorporated into the Sifrei Nevi'im. And the Gemara says that the Sifrei Nevi'im that we have today are the Svarim that were Negeya, that are Negeya for Deirei Deiris, that are Negeya for the future also. So the Nevi'im that were found in the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, they said Nevuah to say Musar to the generation. But the Nevuah that they said were not Negeya to future generations. The Nevuah that we have, the Sifrei Nevi'im that we've preserved today as part of Tanakh, so these are the Nevuahs that are Negeya for future generations also. And therefore they are the Sifrei Nevi'im that Wakeveya, Wahukva, into the Tanakh. Okay, they also were Keveya, Shir Hashirim, Mishlei, Keheles, as the other Chelik of Tanakh and Ksuvim. Right, so now we have Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. So they were the ones that were Keveya, these Svarim, Shir Hashirim, Mishlei, Keheles, that they should be part of the Ksuvim, and nothing else. We have the Sefer of Daniel. We have Esther, right? Megillas Esther. We learned that Esther was Mespalel. Esther was Mespalel that the Anshe Knesset HaGdoila should include Megillas Esther into the Ksuvim, right? Kisful Ledeiros. So she was Mespalel, should be included into the Ksuvim again, because the story of Megillas Esther is not just what happened then, but it's a story that's Negeya L'Dairis, as we keep on saying, Megillas Esther is the key to the future generations. And also we have the Svarim of Ezra and Nehemiah, the Nevuahs of Ezra and Nehemiah, and also Divrei Hayomim, where you have the other Svarim that talk about Nevuahs, and also what took place in the beginning of the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and that from that point on, the Tanakh was sealed. Nothing else is included in Kisvei HaKadosh. Now, just to give it a little bit more of a Havana, what does that mean? What this means is that from the Kisvei HaKadosh, from Torah Shebichsav, this is all included in Torah Shebichsav. On Torah Shebichsav, we learn Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is based on Torah Shebichsav. So the basis of everything we have is Torah Shebichsav. What's included in Torah Shebichsav? So, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. From the Nevi'im Ksuvim, the Gemara says you can't learn out halachis, because it's only from Torah you learn out halachis, but we can base the Yesodus of Torah Shebaal Peh, the different drushes, the different musar, and so forth and so on, everything that we learn out from all of these different Sfarim HaKadoshim, so the ganze Shas that we have, all the Gemara that we have, the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the Rishonim, the everything we have from the Goyim is all based on these Sfarim. So everything that we have, that all of Torah Shebaal Peh, again, all of the Gemaras, the Medrashim, Medrash Rabba, Medrash Tanchuma, everything is based on the Sfarim of Tanakh. So what's included in Tanakh? So the Anshik Nesagloila were the ones that were Keveya, that these are the Sfarim that are included in Tanakh. And the other Sfarim over the Eben Nevuas that we have, and other Sfarim, which perhaps existed similar, maybe like Shir HaShirim and Mishlei and Kayelis or whatever, written by other Chachamim, and without a doubt, many of these Sfarim must have been Doch Gevaldik, has Gevaldik as it was, aber in Torah, it included in Torah, it's not included in Torah. And they were the ones that were Keveyas. Another thing that they did is they were Keveya, the parashas Psuchais and Stumais. Right? You know, in the Sefer Torah you have, in the Chumash you have the Samach and a Pei. And that has to do with how big of a space you have in the Sefer Torah. So they were the ones that were Masadaris. And another thing that they did is they started putting down Torah Shebaal Peh. They started being Malakei Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, so we're going to stop over here, and the next time we're going to begin talking about this, the Inyan of Torah Shebaal Peh, that they started to be Masader, and I would like to discuss it a bit by Arichas, and then afterwards start talking about the beginning, now that we've talked about the building of the Beis HaMikdash, start talking about what took place after the Eden came into Eretz Yisrael.